Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sages headed by Sunak Rishi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts in ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible to their eyes. As he came forward accompanied by his own associates bearing all paraphernalia, such as umbrella and a chamara fan, the white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. As he came forward, accompanied by his own associates bearing or paraphernalia such as umbrella and chamara fan, the white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans. And due to their favorable breeze, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon or ice melting due to a gust of wind. Purport. In this verse we find the word achakshat aksha vishayam. The Supreme Lord cannot be seen by our ordinary eyes, but He now became visible to the eyesight of the Kumaras. Another significant word is samadhi bhagyam. Meditators who are very fortunate can see the Vishnu form of the Lord within their hearts by following the yogic process. But to see Him face to face is a different matter. This is only possible for pure devotees. The Kumaras, therefore, upon seeing the Lord coming forward with His associates, who were holding an umbrella and a chamara fan, were struck with wonder that they were seeing the Lord face to face. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that devotees, being elevated in love of God, always see Shyam Sundar, the personality of Godhead, within their hearts. But when they are mature, the same God is visible before them face to face. For ordinary persons, the Lord is not visible. However, when one can understand the significance of His holy name and one engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, by chanting and tasting prasad, then gradually the Lord reveals Himself. Thus, the devotees constantly see the Lord within his heart. And in a more mature stage, one can see the same Lord directly as we see everything else. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsya He Krishna Garuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paridanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to welcome everyone for Srimad Bhagavatam class. And my gratitude to Bhaktivedanta management, Bhaktivedanta Manor management to host me here and give me this valuable opportunity. Also seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees here. So this is a very amazing pastime. It's quite an exciting pastime. Also, I would say at times controversial pastime, because the controversy of fall down from the spiritual world comes in this. This is cited as an incident or something, and there were some discussions about that also. So I've been hearing all the classes being given on this chapter for last 1 week or so. Yesterday Vishwambar Prabhu gave the class, before that Taruna Prabhu and other speakers. So many nice realizations have been shared. So, I will try to speak something on this verse very briefly and try to summarize what all we have been learning in this past time till now. So it will be kind of, I'll do the brief recap and also share some insights from the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has given some really beautiful insights into this past time, which we can learn from that a lot. Okay, so first of all, in this particular verse, now the four Kumaras who had only seen the Lord in their trance, or the word written here is in their ecstatic trance, Samadhi Bhagyam. So in their Samadhi they had seen the form of the Lord. Now that same form was present before their eyes. There was a discussion, are these four Kumaras devotees or they are Brahmavadis? So because how could they see the Lord form in ecstatic trance before, and so on and so forth? Were they devotees before or acting as Brahmavadis, or were they Brahmavadis and now they are going to become devotees, etc.? So this is one point. So actually they were Brahmavadis. They were Brahmavadis. And even we discussed in some few days back that we get some ecstatic, you know, experience doesn't mean that we are pure devotees. Even in the stage of sadhana, the Lord gives some kind of ecstatic experiences. We can experience. So when those who are Brahmavadis, when they, the part of their sadhana, even the impersonalist, the yogis, they meditate on the form of the Lord within the heart, to merge in the impersonal Brahman. This is described by Lord Kapila in third canto. Later in the third canto, Lord Kapila describes the yogic path. And then he says, these yogis with the desire to merge also meditate on Paramatma. And they experience ecstasy of, you know, when they meditate on the Paramatma, when they see his beautiful form, they're able to focus. They experience ecstasy, but then they are unfortunate. They consider this ecstasy also to be lower than the bliss of Brahman, and they make a choice to merge in the Brahman rather than have a personal relationship with the Lord. So yes, even in the stage of practice, while they are not fully perfect, one can get some ecstatic experiences or even some vision, like seeing the Lord Vishnu within the heart in the stage of their sadhana, in a mature stage. So they were Brahmavadis who had experienced the Lord form within their heart, but they were not yet pure devotees. So now, but they are able to see the form which they had seen within their heart as in front of them. Achakshata Vishayam, the word is used. Now we have been seeing the beautiful form of Radha Gokulanand. One day you will be able to see the same form. Devotees, if you go on with our devotional service as Prabhupada has instructed us, following the path shown by Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, will be able to see the Shyam Sundar form of the Lord. Radha Gokulanand as a object of our direct vision, as is being described. So one should not have any doubt about that. Prabhupada has several times written that. So we have something very exciting waiting. We should be excited for that day when the form we have been seeing in the Mangala Arati Darshan, Shingara Arati Darshan, we'll be able to see that form with our eyes. And there's no doubt about that. We just need to continue the process. So this one important thing we can learn and look forward to. Bhakti is very exciting. So now, the Lord accomplishes so many purposes through one pastime. Lord Vishnu is the original Lord of multitasking. We also sometimes do several multitaskings. So Lord, if we can do multitasking, how much more the Lord can do? And Lord Krishna can even do greater multitasking. Through one pastime, he can accomplish several tasks. So it is said that these four Kumaras were Brahmavadis and they were not qualified to enter Vaikuntha, first of all, because only the pure devotees can enter Vaikuntha. But the Lord gave them, you know, special permission, kind of, he allowed them. It was not by their qualification, it was by the Lord's arrangement that they could first come to Vaikuntha. Why did the Lord allow them to come to Vaikuntha? Because their father Brahma and their brother Narada had desired that they also become pure devotees from Brahmavadis. So it is very important, the Lord, you know, when other devotees pray for us, we all pray for ourselves, no doubt. But if we serve and please other devotees and they pray for us, then the Lord considers that prayers he considers those prayers very seriously. He cannot neglect the prayer of the devotees who are dear to him. So Lord Brahma is dear to him. Narada is very dear to him. So they have a relation with pure devotees. So because of their desire that four Kumaras should also become devotees, now the Lord is orchestrating this pastime. He has first of all given them a special visitor visa to Vaikuntha. They are not actually qualified for the permanent residency or citizenship, but it's a visitor visa they were given by the arrangement of Lord Vishnu. They're able to enter Vaikuntha first of all. Okay, so now they are able to come to Vaikuntha, and the purpose, the Lord Vishnu has brought them to Vaikuntha, is to actually give them bhakti. So now the Lord is orchestrating this pastime. You see, he has a desire to fight. We discussed that has been discussed quite elaborately in previous classes. The Lord wanted to fight, and this Jayavijay wanted to serve him in this way. That's one thing. Now let's look at for the benefit of four Kumaras. So he is bringing them to give them bhakti now. Okay, so just going back into the pastime a little bit. So now the four Kumaras have been allowed, this whole pastime is being orchestrated to give bhakti to the four Kumaras. So they walk past the six gates of Vaikuntha, and they are Brahmavadis. And these Vaikuntha doors are very beautifully decorated. The whole Vaikuntha beauty is described. But they are Brahmavadis. You know, they consider all variegatedness material. They didn't pay attention to any of these gates, the beauty, the variegatedness. They are just focused on meeting Vishnu, and they walk past all the six gates. And seventh gate, they were stopped by Jay and Vijay. Now, often a question is asked, you know, they are doorkeepers, and if the doorkeepers stop someone, they are doing their duty. You know, why should the four Kumaras should cooperate with the security, you know, like in this world also, like when we go to the temple, sometimes there could be some very big people, big shots coming to the temple, and they don't like to be screened by security. So if there is a escort, they could kind of, you know, get out of the security. They may not have to be screened if there is some escort. But otherwise, normally they have to be screened by security. And security, you know, they do their duty basically. They do their duty. So a question is asked, you know, the security have to do their duty, the four Kumaras should cooperate. But no, they got very angry. Now, in stopping, so the question is asked, in stopping four Kumaras, what's the fault of Jayavijaya? Because they are doorkeepers, and doorkeepers are supposed to, you know, screen people and so on and so forth. So their fault is described that, yes, actually it was their mistake. Now, one, the pastimes are to be studied from two perspectives. This is important. One perspective is the Leela perspective, is the Leela of the Lord. Lord is orchestrating the whole pastime. But, so it is the desire of the Lord. By the will of the Lord, everything is happening. That's fine. When we only take that perspective is important so that we do not find any fault with anyone. As Vishwambhara Prabhu quite elaborately yesterday said, we should not find fault in any of them. Yes, fine. So it's the Leela of the Lord, we don't find fault. But from lesson perspective, second perspective, for the sake of understanding some lessons, we do identify, okay, here is some mistake they have made. And Prabhupada writes in the purport. And Lord Vishnu also says, it was their mistake that they stopped. So yes, so now from the lesson perspective, the doormen, doorkeepers have made a mistake. What is their mistake? Now, though they are doorkeepers and though they are supposed to do their job, they are supposed to do their job in a way which is pleasing to their master, understanding the mood of their master. So they, in stopping Jayavijaya, they acted against the mood of their master. Bhagavat pratikul shilo, the word is used. So the Lord is favorably inclined to the Brahmanas, and the Vedic culture is any big king, the Brahmanas could go and meet the king without any prior appointment. So that was the culture, that any of the great sages, just like Vishwamitra, directly walked to Dasharath while he was sitting in the court. They don't need a prior appointment. The Brahmanas and the sages, they don't need a prior appointment. That's the nature of the Lord. They are always welcome, basically. So the Lord is always welcoming to the Brahmanas. He is favorably inclined. And therefore, the servant should serve understanding the mood of the master. This is important for us. Now, though the service may be given to us by the spiritual master, or even by the Supreme Lord, if we do not do it properly, it's our mistake. To give an example, Akrura came to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. But what happened? This is directly by the will of the Lord he is coming. And he took Krishna and Balaram to Mathura as per the will of their lordships. But he later got implicated in Shamantaka jewel controversy, which involves several murders. So just murder conspiracy. Several murders. So he got involved and he had to leave Mathura and go to Varanasi. And again, the Acharyas explained that this happened because he did the service of bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, but he did it in an insensitive way. What was the insensitivity? He's bringing the life and soul of the gopis. He's taking their life and soul away. He should have actually apologized to them. Though he is doing it by the will of Krishna Balaram, the etiquette says he should have apologized. I'm so sorry, I'm doing this. I will bring him back soon. He should have given some assurance to them. You know, there is a way of doing service. So the sensitivity, there are some sensitivity involved. So we should understand, it's not just that, okay, this is my service and I will just do my service. And other people are being, you know, disturbed by that. They are being sometime tormented and so on and so forth. It is whatever service we are doing, though that is devotional service given by the Lord, given by the spiritual master, but it is up to us to understand the sensitivities involved, and especially the sensitivities of dealings, Vaishnava dealings. So, because Akrura was not sensitive to the emotions of the gopis, and he did his service little bit in a blunt way rather than in a sensitive way, he got later involved in the Shyamantaka jewel controversy. So herein, the four Kumaras are doing their duty, but they should be more sensitive and tuned in to the mood of their master, who is very welcoming to the Brahmanas. And therefore, they should not have stopped. Okay, so therefore, that mistake they committed. Okay, that's fine. So they got the mistake they committed, and the four Kumaras got angry. Now, Prabhupada says, anger exists in the transcendental world. At times, people think someone who becomes angry means, you know, that person is not spiritually elevated or something. Or when a person is really spiritually elevated, that person will not have anger. But no, Prabhupada says the anger exists in the transcendental stage also. So therefore, when they were thwarted in their service, you know, they were very eager to see the Lord. So when, that is like devotional service, when they were, their devotional service was checked, they became angry, and Prabhupada says, which is very natural. Fine. Now, this is natural. But now there is one problem with the anger. Even though it may be transcendental, it may be justified, and it may be transcendental, it may not be material. There is one problem with anger. Can someone tell me? Yes, Jai Prabhu. It takes control of you, yes. So you are employing anger, but now you are employed by the anger later. You may think, I will employ anger for something, but then we become controlled by the anger. When the anger is exhibited, it just goes out of limit. It's very difficult to control the anger. We become controlled by the anger. That's the difficulty with anger. Not just with us, even those who are transcendently situated. In Bhagavatam, there are several examples of those who are transcendently situated, but they could not control the anger. The anger went overboard. Can someone tell me some examples from Bhagavatam? Pure devotees who employed the anger, but the anger went out of control. Yes, Aman Prabhu. Parikshit Maharaj employed the anger went out of control. No, that was not anger. He was just disappointed. It's fine. Okay, yes, Prabhu. What's your good name, Prabhu? Prema Avatar, Prabhu. Prema Anuva. Okay, thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Example of pure devotee who employed the anger, it went out of control. Okay, Prithu Maharaj. He was killing the Yakshas. That was Dhruva Maharaj. Yes. Hare Krishna. Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jaya. Sita Ram Lakshan Hanuman ki jaya. Okay, so Dhruva Maharaj was killing the Yakshas, and his anger went out of control, and he started killing so many Yakshas. Who came and stopped him? Sambhu Manu came and stopped him. He said, wait. Your anger is fine that you want to revenge your brother's unfair death, but you are now killing many innocent Yakshas. Stop your anger, is going out of control. He was stopped by Sambhu Manu, and then he checked his anger. Fine. What's the other example? Some pure devotee. Now, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha are pure devotees in the original form, not in the pastime form. So, any pure devotee who employed the anger, but they could not control, it went out of control. Yes. Who? Uddhava and? Oh, it was Uddhava and the gopis? Okay. Okay, fine. Well, I haven't heard that. So, this is fine. Yes? Okay, Amrish Maharaj, Durvasa? Yeah. Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa. Okay, so Durvasa Muni, his anger went out of control, is it? Durvasa Muni. Of course, he's not a pure devotee, he's also a yogi. But yes, his anger went out of control and Maharaj Ambarish remained calm. Okay. Fine. There are... Yes, Prabhu. Taruna Prabhu. Janmajaya, right. Right. Yes, yes. Right. Right. So there are... yes. Mother Subhadra. Yes. The Prachetas, right, another good example. So we got three examples here of pure devotees. Dhruva's anger went out of control. Janmajaya Maharaj, another pure devotee, he wanted to avenge the death of his father Parikshit. Or it was father or, father Parikshit. So he was doing a sacrifice to kill all the snakes and, you know, the innocent snakes were being killed and Lord Brahma came and said, wait. You can't do that. Don't be too angry also. The anger is going out of control. Then third example is given that of the Prachetas. The Prachetas, again pure devotees, had the darshan of Vishnu. When they came, the earth was overgrown with the trees and they employed the anger to clear, you know, to burn these trees. But then it went overboard. And so many other trees which are not supposed to be burned were being burned. And then again, Soma, he appeared, or probably Lord Brahma appeared, one of the personalities appeared to stop that your anger is going out of control. So there are example of Dhruva, Pracheta, even Prithu Maharaj became angry and he wanted to kill Indra. And then Lord Brahma had to come and stop him. So we see several devotees in Bhagavatam who employed the anger, but the anger went out of control. Out of control. And therefore, they had to be reminded. They had to be reminded, please control your anger, please check your anger. But the important thing is, when they were reminded, they immediately control their anger. And it requires, you know, open-mindedness and humility to accept someone's instruction, especially when you're angry. It's not easy. Because anyone give good instruction to an angry person may himself become the recipient of the anger. Right, that person himself may be actually receive the brunt. So it's difficult. So here we learn one important thing is that when anger is employed, it is very difficult to check, it is very difficult to control. And if we really go overboard and we do not check it, and the Lord helps the devotee. You see, in all the cases, when the pure devotees, their anger was going out of control, the Lord gave the message through some other devotee. Wait, this is not appropriate. Check your anger. And they checked it. Right? Now, in the case of four Kumaras here, they are not pure devotees, they are Brahmavadis. They employed the anger, and Prabhupada said it is justified, but the anger went overboard. And what did happen? They cursed the associates of the Lord to go to the material world. Now, what has happened is, now the anger may be justified, but now they have given proportion, they have given punishment out of proportion. Someone may have done a mistake, and when we chastise a person more than what is required, that means out of proportion, then what happens? Now it's our mistake. And often that happens. Someone may have done a mistake, we overreact. We become angry and we go out of control. And then what happens? We either speak harshly or give some punishment which is out of proportion. And then that becomes, now we are at a greater fault. So there have been some mistake, but now the mistake of the four Kumaras is greater because they have overreacted. And they have given a punishment which is out of proportion of their mistake. So now if you see in the purport, if you carefully read, earlier all the purports were describing, okay, the Jay and Vijay made a mistake. But now the four Kumaras had a greater mistake. Their mistake is bigger now because they overreacted. Okay, but the important thing is that what is the response? Now this will come. The four Kumaras, when they made a mistake, when they cursed the associate of the Lord, it was a mistake, how did they realize their mistake, or did they realize their mistake? Now, again, I would like to ask you, when we, someone may have done something wrong and we become angry and we speak over harshly than required, overreact, then is our mistake? Or whenever we commit any mistake, how do we realize our mistake? When we commit any mistake, how do we realize that mistake? Yes, Premananda Prabhu? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good point. Yeah. Yourself?
Oh, yeah. I have more of like visually that you can see if someone is hurt.
Okay, good. We can see if someone is hurt, then we can realize by seeing the like expression of other person. And when we actually hurt somebody, what happens is our heart will become restless. Because Krishna is there within the heart, and as devotees, Krishna will close the valve of his mercy. When we offend some devotee, we will lose Krishna's mercy, which is our main nourishment, which is a lifeline for us in bhakti. And unless we really become humble and apologize, we will not get the flow of mercy. So when we commit a mistake, especially offend a devotee, our heart will not find any joy in bhakti. The Krishna will close the valve. He has the control. And there is no more mercy coming from him, and there is no more joy in bhakti. The heart will become dry if we really offend somebody. Till we apologize, and then Krishna again releases his mercy. So our own heart we can understand when we offend some devotee. We can understand. So the four Kumaras, after some contemplation, their heart became restless when they cursed as with the Lord. In contemplation, they understood, we have done a great mistake. They understood that point. So therefore, a sincere person can understand one's mistake by one's own contemplation. The Lord is there in the heart. A sincere devotee, it doesn't take any seminars to understand one's mistake. And actually, it is a sign of greatness to accept one's mistake. At times we feel, oh, if I admit my mistake, then my status, my position will be lowered. But actually not. It's a sign of greatness to accept one's mistake. So greatness is not that we never commit mistakes. Greatness is when we commit mistake, are we able to accept it? And the sooner we accept, the greater that person is. So now, very soon, the four Kumaras, they realize their mistake. They realize their mistake within the heart. And what happens? When they realized their mistake, they began to repent. Now, this is something very insightful. Till now, they had a pride that they are very peaceful sages. They had never become angry. There was a pride in their heart that we are very peaceful sages. Now, when they became angry and cursed the Lord, cursed the Jayavijaya, the associates of the Lord, their pride in being peaceful sages was destroyed. And what happens? Repentance appears in the heart, and repentance is a sign of humility. Because anyone has to accept the mistake and repent. When repentance means a person has some humility in the heart. Now because they became humble, the humility appears in the heart. Now Lord Vishnu has come to give them devotion. Because devotional service can only fructify in a humble heart. Just like a seed can only fructify in a fertile land, only a humble heart, the devotional service can fructify, and the creeper of devotional service can grow. So just see how Lord Vishnu is orchestrating. He made them commit this mistake. He destroyed their pride in being peaceful sages. He made them overreact. Of course, we are getting so many lessons. When we overreact, it's not Lord Vishnu is arranging. So we have to take all the lessons. And then they finally repented and became humble. And because now they became humble, it is now the right time for them to receive bhakti. Therefore, the Lord has brought the four Kumaras to Vaikuntha to give them bhakti. For their benefit, this pastime is being orchestrated. Of course, there are many reasons. Multitasking. Lord Vishnu is most expert at multitasking. And one of the reasons is also to give bhakti to the four Kumaras. So, now one important, I would like to point out another very important aspect. In this, now Jaya Vijaya actually came down to the material world by the will of the Lord. It's not a case of fall down. Three times in the purports, in these two chapters, 15, 16, three times in the purports, Prabhupada writes, I'll read from one of the purports. So Prabhupada says, all these incidents therefore were designed by the Lord Himself. Lord is engineering this or designing this. So all these incidents therefore were designed by the Lord Himself for the sake of His pastime in the material world. Thus He plainly says that it was done with His approval. So everything is happening with His approval. Otherwise it would have been impossible for the inhabitants of Vaikuntha to come back to this material world simply because of Brahmanical curse. And the Lord says, actually I could have neutralized the curse of the Brahmanas easily, but I did not do so. It's happening by the will of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, therefore, a devotee once accepted by the Lord can never fall down. That is the conclusion of this incident. Three times in the purport, Prabhupada says, the conclusion of Jaya Vijaya fall down is no one can fall from the spiritual world. You can read the purports. 3, 16, 12, 3, 16, 26, and there is another purport. Three times in the purport, Prabhupada says, the conclusion of this incident is that the Lord always protects His devotees. Anyone who goes to Vaikuntha, there is a protection of the Lord, and that person doesn't fall down. Three times in the purports. So, you see the perspective, when we actually read Prabhupada's purports very carefully, we get the right perspective of the pastime. We get the right understanding from this particular pastime. Thus, the Lord has performed this pastime, beautiful pastime, for several reasons. And He's, one of them also is to give bhakti to Jaya Vijaya by first making them humble. So therefore Prabhupada wrote that, I have found the key to the spiritual world. What was that? Tanadapi shuniche na tarorivasa hishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So actually the humility is the key factor to progress in the spiritual life. And Lord Chaitanya recited the eight verses of Shikshastakam from Shraddha. These eight verses takes us from Shraddha to Prema, and the Prema further grows in seven further stages up to Mahabhav. So there are nine stages, Shraddha to Prema, and Prema Krame Bradi Yai Sneha Man Panai Rag Anurag Bhav Mahabhav Hai. There are seven further stages of growth of Prema. So those 16 stages are indicated in Shikshastakam. And each one can progress from one stage to another by increasingly becoming fixed in humility. He recited these eight verses with increasing humility. If we study chapter 20th, Antalila, the Lord recited each verse with increasing humility. So the humility is a key to progress. Humility is a key to devotion and key to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, where we will be able to see the beautiful forms of Radha Gokulananda with this eyes, achakshata vishayam, as we discussed in the very beginning, the Lord becomes the object of our vision before the eyes. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for your patient hearing, kind attention, grateful to you all. So, those who wish to leave, please feel free, absolutely free, you may have other services. Those who wish to ask something, share something, reflect something, most welcome. Taruna Prabhu is raising his hand. Do we have mic? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
It works? It works? It doesn't work, I think.
Hare Krishna. It's not working?
It doesn't work.
Okay, they are trying to. Hare Krishna, can someone see?
Gauranga. Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. The other day I was asked a question which I didn't understand at the time, and neither did I reply properly. But when Krishna comes to the material world, he seems to me comes always in the mood of Aishwarya, like this Vasudeva platform. Even words from Bhagavad Gita, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, you know, Paitrayana Sadhanam, it kind of refers to that feature of Vasudeva. And then to experience love, which he is only interested in, he already has that in his spiritual world, so there is no need for him to come here to experience the same. So then what's the point? Is any additional feature? And then he has to bring all this Radharani, everybody. So it's the same, like if you enjoy certain things in one place, and now you go to holiday to some other foreign place, and you did the same.
Okay.
So it's like wondering why you would come here to material world to experience that.
Okay, thank you. This is a very nice, beautiful question. Krishna is experiencing the rasa in the spiritual world. When he comes here, mainly, okay, prithanaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam, that is Vasudeva feature of the Lord. But he performs his Vrindavan pastime. What need is there for him to experience mellows in this material world, in the bhava of Vrindavan? That's the question. He already has that in the spiritual world. Okay, there are several reasons or several aspects to that. It's a nice question. Actually, there are certain devotees, sadhana siddha devotees, who perfect their life through sadhana. They first assist Krishna's pastime in form of Vrindavan. They don't directly go to Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, in order to give them the opportunity to serve in the Bhama Vrindavan, which is not different from Goloka Vrindavan. So, like a training, just like sometimes we don't take the new pujaris to the altar. In the backup room, we have some other DDs, the form of the DDs, and we give them some training and so on and so forth. But that is also real. The Bhama Vrindavan is equally good. So there are certain sadhana devotees who participate in the Lord's pastime in Bhava Vrindavan. That is one. Secondly, the very beautiful insight given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is, he says, second reason is he wants to perform this pastime in the material world to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls. He is giving an advertisement, like he is coming and doing vikyapanam. Vikyapanam means he is advertising, see the sweet nature of my pastimes, and so that to attract more and more people to Goloka Vrindavan. So the Lord is canvassing. He is canvassing that to attract more and more people. Another very beautiful insight given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is the Lord's pastime in the material world, they shines forth brilliantly, even they are more brilliant than in the Goloka Vrindavan. Oh no, this is something very amazing, very striking. How the Lord's pastime in the material world, they shine forth more. His Vrindavan pastime here shines forth more than his pastime in Goloka Vrindavan. How is that? Because the material world is a black background. Now just imagine a Krishna's pastime, they're like shining diamond. You put a diamond in a white background, that is Goloka Vrindavan. Put the diamond in the black background. The same diamond, where does it shine forth more? In the black background, means when there is a backdrop is black, or background is black, the same diamond comes out, shines forth more, although the same diamond. So material world provides a black backdrop or background to Krishna's pastime, and his pastime shines forth in a very brilliant way and attracts the hearts of so many souls. So these are some of the reasons. And of course, the other pastimes of he does by Vasudev feature, that's also there. Fine, so these are some reasons. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna, your good name?
Eliana.
Eliana.
Eliana. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for that joyfully given class, Prabhu. I was wondering why do we strive to have Vishnu in our hearts and not Vrindavan Krishna, like Krishna in his original form.
Sorry, what's the question?
So why do we strive to have Vishnu, or like that we talking about Vishnu appears in our hearts?
Uh-huh.
Why is it not Krishna in his original form?
We don't strive for Vishnu appearance in the heart. That is yogi strive to meditate. So that's not our process. Okay. That's a yogic process. They meditate on the form of Paramatma in 400.
Yeah.
But we don't do that Paramatma meditation.
Yeah.
That's not the process of the bhakti yogis. Yeah. Our process is chanting the Lord's name, hearing the pastime, and when we hear these pastimes of Krishna, and we should also hear the pastime of Lord Vishnu, because he is not different from Krishna, he is the expansion. So by hearing this pastime, the Lord manifests in the heart. When we hear Lord pastime, the Lord manifests within our hearts.
But why is it the form of Vishnu? We were reading in the purport, I think, that the Lord in his form of Vishnu is appearing
that
in our hearts
is,
and not Krishna.
No, the why is not Krishna you're saying? No, the Paramatma is the expansion of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, Paramatma, feature of the Lord. Basically, but for devotees Vishnu is Krishna. Yeah, for devotees Vishnu is Krishna, but
this
Paramatma is a feature of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, his expansion in all the living entities' heart.
Okay,
but the devotees understand that he's Krishna. For devotees, he's Krishna.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
And thank you so much. And another question I had. At some point when we just do the process of chanting and eating and tasting prasad, the Lord gradually reveals himself. But do we, and you also said that we will see him at some point.
Yes.
Maybe not in this life, but how do I imagine that, like seeing him within my heart when I look at my heart, when I see myself in the mirror, or just mentally or emotionally?
No, we don't have to imagine. We just have to purify the heart. Swayam eva srutte adha. The Rupa Goswami says, when we serve the Lord beginning with the tongue, as Prabhupada says in the purport, by chanting the holy name, by honoring prasadam, right, by serving the devotees, the Lord will manifest. And then we'll be able to experience him when he makes when he gives the experience. So that is bestowed upon us. So when you experience, your understanding will be complete. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Yes, Mother Subhadra Devi.
I heard that a special feature of the Lord's pastimes in the mature world is also his childhood pastimes that are not found in the spiritual world.
They are not found in the spiritual world. They are. So Sanatana Goswami says all the pastimes are there in the spiritual world also. Even the demon killing pastimes are in the spiritual world as per Sanatana Goswami. So all pastimes are there in the spiritual world. Some of his devotees, Yogamaya produces some demons so that Krishna can. The killing of Kamsa is there. He goes to Mathura, childhood pastime. Sanatana Goswami says all pastimes are there. But those his childhood form is like an expansion. His Kishore form is the Swayam Bhagavan original, the original form. Other forms of the Lord, his childhood form and Pogan, Balya, Pogan, all these are expansion, pastime expansion forms. So there are childhood pastimes, there are other pastimes, there are demon killing pastimes also in the Goloka Vrindavan. But another point, there is a greater excitement in performing those pastimes in the material world because it is more real, especially killing the demons. So there the Yogamaya brings some demons, she creates some demons to give, you know, to assist the Lord's pastime. But here there is greater excitement in the material world in killing the demons. So there's additional feature of the material world pastimes. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. But then I was thinking that since it's Vasudev who kills the demons, then how come Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan is killing the demons also?
Yeah, that's for the sake of certain rasas. Because, see, all those expansion of Krishna are there within him. Vasudev feature is also his feature. So they all exist in Krishna only. So Krishna cannot be separated from his expansions. So Krishna relishes those rasas, and the demon killing pastime also facilitate his other pastimes. Because when the demons, you know, he has captured the Vasudev and Devaki, their vasala is increasing toward the Lord. So these demons are also assisting the facilitation of mellows in other rasas. The friends are amazed, and their love toward Krishna increases when Krishna kills the demon, you see. So the Sakhya rasa is also increasing. So the demons are also facilitating the mellows, the other mellows of other devotees. Fine. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. Once again, grateful to all of you. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.